This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, 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 everyone. I am so excited to be here back with you for Ramadan 360. It is day 29 of our series, Living by the Book, 30 Quranic Principles in 30 Days. And can you believe it? We've almost covered all of the principles, alhamdulillah. It's amazing to be with you. I am your host for today, giving our beloved sister Hafsa some time off. Abdurrahman, Justin Wood, coming to you live from the Midwest in Columbus, Ohio, where we just experienced the eclipse like many of you did as well around the country and potentially the world. Alhamdulillah, we had some amazing khusuf prayers. The eclipse prayer was done in multiple masajid in our city. It was quite a blessing to see the Muslims come out in droves. Many people were already in the masjid for i'tikaf, so it was really a packed masjid, mashallah. It looked like it was Jummah prayer, and it was the eclipse prayer, mashallah. So a big blessing, alhamdulillah. Hope you were able to participate in some fashion as well to remember the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah bless you all. Go ahead and rename yourselves in the chat as well. Let us know where you are coming from. We really want to highlight our international audience today, as we do have a special guest instructor today, alhamdulillah. We're super blessed to have you all with us. It wouldn't be Ramadan 360 if we didn't shout out those people who are making it happen for our brothers and sisters who are most in need around this ummah. And so we want to continue to shout out to them. In the USA, we have HHRD, who had a fabulous presentation the other day. Really got us to connect with those orphans and those folks in need. Of course, the amazing work of our Canadian partner, Islamic Relief. And of course, the Forgotten Women in the UK, that organization. All three of those organizations are doing tremendous work. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them, and please continue to support them in these waning days of the month of Ramadan. May Allah azza wa jalla continue to bless all of us in all of our efforts. We also want to quickly, as we get into today's session, just to let you know where we are at with our campaign. As of right now, alhamdulillah, the campaign has been beyond generous in terms of what the community has come out and done. And we really want to take a moment and appreciate that. So I'm going to really quickly share that for you here. Yes, I will share the Telegram group for the Salah, inshallah. I got you. But let's do a quick screen share here and just take a look at that. So this is in US dollars. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We crossed the $300,000 threshold. So we're at $309,860. Our current goal is $325. Each and every dollar we are using in order to fund the tremendous work that Al-Maghrib does in communities around the globe, the ability to ensure that students are able to access authentic, reliable Islamic knowledge, that parents have a better idea how to deal with their kids, that kids can deal with their parents, whether you're in business, whether you're in charity work, whether you're a professional, whether you're a student, Al-Maghrib has something for everyone. And we want to continue to support the efforts, the ongoing efforts, inshallah ta'ala, as we go for the next 20 years of service to the global ummah. So please continue to be so generous and so supportive, and jazakumullah khairan to this community right here who has been so amazing and so instrumental in ensuring that we have the resources and the tools we need in order to support the da'wah and support the teaching that occurs around the globe. With that, we have a very special moment today. And perhaps if you want to mark, if you are tracking Al-Maghrib milestones, then you can mark your Al-Maghrib calendar, inshallah ta'ala, for today, because I am super honored to be with you as a host for this particular moment. We have an instructor who is making a debut with us, who has not taught, to the best of my knowledge, has not taught with Al-Maghrib in the past, but alhamdulillah, he is with us today. And this is going to be our beloved Sheikh Dr. Tahir Wyatt. For those of you who don't know him, Tahir Wyatt is an experienced academic, interpreter, and instructor of Islamic studies. During over 21 years of teaching in Saudi Arabia, he attained multiple degrees, including a doctorate in theology. He has since blessed us with his presence back in the States. He is the executive director of the United Muslim Masjid in Philadelphia and the president of Qadi, the Quran Arabic Reflection Institute, and also is associated with Yaqeen Institute as the associate editor on Yaqeen's editorial review board and the director of the systematic theology department. We are so, so honored, Dr. Tahir, to have you with us. Are you coming from Philadelphia today?
Something like that. Close. Right out, right
Alhamdulillah.
outside the city. Can you hear me, by the way? Is
Yes,
the
loud and clear, mashallah. Sound great.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Welcome to Ramadan 360. Welcome to this global community. We're so blessed to have your presence here with us. And we'd love for you to go ahead and introduce your topic, inshallah ta'ala.
الحمد لله رب العالمين واشهد ان لا اله الا الله ولي الصالحين واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا الى يوم الدين اما بعد الحمد لله it is it's an honor to be here. It is also an honor that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us with a with another day of Ramadan, and I think that the topic that I was asked to speak about is extremely appropriate for these last few hours that we have of Ramadan and finishing strong. The topic that I was asked to speak about is ambition or high aspirations as a Quranic theme. And we see this theme play out through the instruction of Allah Azza wa Jal to his messengers. And we see this theme play out very clearly in the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his companions. And I want us all to appreciate that not every characteristic or every character trait can be considered to be a theme of the Quran. However, this one of ambition or ambition can have a negative context, so we'll use high aspirations. This theme of high aspirations runs through and through the Quran and throughout the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, some of the timeless advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is ihris ala ma yanfa'uk. Ihris ala ma yanfa'uk. Wasta'in billah wa la ta'jiz. You'll hear a lot of people say this hadith, they say la ta'jiz, but that is an incorrect pronunciation according to many of the scholars of hadith. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to strive, to have hirs, strive, to be ambitious, ihris ala ma yanfa'uk, to do that which will benefit you, to embody those things that benefit, ihris ala ma, anything that is going to benefit you, strive to achieve that, wasta'in billah, and seek Allah's aid, and do not give up. La ta'jiz. Don't feel like you're not good enough. Don't wane. Keep trying. Now, this is an extremely important hadith, and it comes after the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that same hadith, al-mu'minul qawi khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allahi min al-mu'minid da'if wa fi kullin khayr. That the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, and in each of them is good. Yani subhanAllah, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is letting us know here that even a person of weak iman still has good in them. And it is a common thing for us to, especially when we're feeling weak, to equate, right, weak iman with no iman. And that's a trick. That is how shaitan, yani, took over. When you despair from Allah's mercy, right? When you feel like you're just not good enough, this actually pushes you to do more evil. It's like the man who killed 99 people. And he went to that monk or that abid. And he said to him, I killed 99 people. Is there any way for me to repent? Now, mind you, subhanAllah, you have to think about this from a different perspective. If somebody's coming to ask you that, they're looking for something, right? And in various positions that we're in life, even just as parents, sometimes your children know that they messed up and they're coming to you, they're trying to figure out a way out. But if we compound the despair that they have, where does that lead them? And so when the monk told him, nah, there's no, you killed 99 people? And you want to be forgiven now? Like, you want to make Tawbah now? Nah, it's too late. The man said, okay, then you'll be number 100. And that's what happened. Because he ran out of hope. Okay, if I'm not going to be, If there's no hope for me, then why? Why am I actually like, what am I doing something good for? No, just, finish the job. So he made him number 100. And it's important that the Prophet says here, Al-mu'minul qawi khayrun wa yuhibbulillahi min al-mu'min al-da'if wa fi kullin khayr. But there's good in both of them. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us how to be good, strong mu'mins. The first thing is strive. Ihris ala ma yanfa'uk. Strive to do what is going to benefit you. Strive for those things that benefit you. Stay away from those things that are going to harm you. So, in this hadith, we see that the Prophet sallallahu is encouraging us to strive. The only people who strive are those people who actually have something that they're striving for. They have some kind of ambition. So I want us to just, I'll take this back to the Quran, and then I'll go back to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we can look at what does this quality actually mean? How did it manifest itself in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and some of his companions? Allah Azza wa Jal told the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran, Wasbir kama sabara ulul azmi min ar-rusuli. Or fasbir kama sabara ulul azmi min ar-rusuli. Endure the way that ulul azm from amongst the messengers endured. Tayyib. Who are ulul azm? Allah Azza wa Jal has sent to earth 124,000 prophets, as it comes in some of the narrations from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The overwhelming majority of them, we don't know their names. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned Ulul Azm from amongst the messengers, these five messengers who are considered to be the greatest of all of the messengers. They are those of firm determination, if we're going to translate ulul azm, if we're going to translate it literally. So Allah Azza wa Jal is even telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you have to have role models, not just fasbir, huh? Fasbir kama sabara ulul azm. Look to their example. There are these great prophets who preceded you, Nuh and Ibrahim and Musa and Isa, alayhimus salam. You need to endure the way that they endured. So, one of the first things that you need to have high ambition, to have high aspirations, you have to have a role model. I'm saying to you all, to this Maghrib gathering, you have to actually have somebody that you look to, that you know their life inside out, and that could be the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but it might be somebody else. It might be Abu Bakr, it might be Umar, it might be Maryam alayhi salam. Yani somebody that resonates their personality, their struggles, their lifestyle, it resonates with you, and you're going to copy them until you make it to Jannah bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal is instructing us with this in every single rak'ah of every salah. Allah made it mandatory upon us to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, and we say in Surah Al-Fatiha, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. That is, in terms of just a valid dua and a very good dua, that's enough. Allahumma hdini, right? Like we say in kunut, and it's interesting. And I'll make this connection in a minute, inshallah. So when we say ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path, we don't stop there. Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. The path of those whom you have favored, whom you have blessed. Who are they? Allah describes them in Surah An-Nisa when he says, مع النبيين أولئك الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. They are the ones whom Allah has favored from amongst the Anbiya, the prophets, the martyrs, the Siddiqeen, the sincere and truthful believers, and the Salihin, the righteous. It is not enough that we just ask for guidance without recognizing that there are other people who traveled that path and that we try to emulate them. And so even when we make the dua of kunut, and now all of you, mashallah, it's Ramadan, so we're saying, Allahumma hadina, what? Fiman hadait. Fiman hadait. Like the other ones that you have guided. Meaning that we always are going to have people who traveled the path before us, males and females, who we're going to emulate. Yani, subhanAllah, it's not a mistake that Allah Azza wa Jal, when describing Maryam alayhi salam in the Quran, wa ummuhu siddiqah. He described her as a siddiqah. She's somebody that we're supposed to be emulating. She's somebody when we're saying, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladina, an'amta alayhim. She's one of those that Allah Azza wa Jal an'ama alayhim, who we should be trying to emulate. Yani, the point here is that when we aspire, we need to look up, not like the things of the dunya. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look to those who are below you. Don't look to those who are above you, because it is more likely, Afwan, the hadith says, don't look to those who are above you. Look to those who are below you. It will be more likely that you are thankful, grateful for Allah's blessings upon you. That's as it relates to dunya things. As it relates to the hereafter, you're supposed to look up so that you can try to emulate those people. Because bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, emulating them will take you on an upward trajectory, and bi-idhnillah will help you on your path to Jannah. If you look below, you're going to become content with where you are religiously. MashaAllah, you pray 5 times a day. You're going to be looking around. You live in a land of non-Muslims. You're going to say, what, these kuffar, they don't even pray. If I'm not going to Jannah, who is going to Jannah? Huh? That's not the attitude we want to take. We want to take, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. In that, right, when it comes to striving for Jannah, let the believers, let those who want to compete, compete for that. Comes to the dunya stuff, we don't have to keep up with the Joneses. I don't. My neighbor gets a brand new car. I don't have to come get a brand new car. My neighbor does a nice renovation project on his house. I don't have to come do a nice renovation. I'm not competing with my neighbors when it comes to dunya. No, I actually need to look at those who have less than me, because that's the only way I'm going to be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal. Yani, if my car is not up to snuff, it's not the greatest ride, it doesn't look the greatest, but mashallah, it gets me from point A to point B. And all I can do is see all of the people whose cars are better than mine, I'm not going to be grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. But if I look at that person that's waiting at the bus stop in the rain, yeah, then I'm a little bit more thankful. And so people often confuse that, and they look to those who are below them, even when it comes to a, let's just say, their practice of deen, their religiosity, if I can use that term loosely. And that is what causes lower aspirations, because we're not seeing, how do I get to that level? SubhanAllah, since this is an intimate gathering, at least that's the way I look at it, and sometimes on Zoom it's hard to tell, but I want to share a story with you all so that we can understand the importance of sharing opportunities with others to be better, right? One of my sheikhs, Sheikh Abdullah Ghudayan, rahimahullah ta'ala, who used to be on the permanent committee of senior scholars in Saudi Arabia. He was the first person that I heard mention that people, right, would read the Quran, the entire Quran, from Surah Al-Fatiha to Surah Al-Nas in one day. Like, that was still alive now. So I've read the books, right? You know, you hear Imam Shafi's reading the Quran, you know, twice a day in Ramadan. And it's just like, come on. You know, from our perspective in the beginning, Like this stuff is a legend, right? This can't be true. Okay, mashallah. But then you read it so much in the stories of the Salaf and their biographies, you're saying, no, there's got to be some element of truth to this, but you just never have experienced that yourself. One of us, if we do three Jews in a day, we're like, yeah, mashallah, mashallah. We've accomplished a great accomplishment. And it is a good, great accomplishment, mashallah. So anyway, Sheikh Abdullah Al-Hudayn, he said that when, ayyam at-talab, yani when we were seeking knowledge, we used to go to the masjid, like there would be a group of the Shabab. They would go to the masjid on Jum'ah at the first hour. That's the way he described it. We go at the first hour, which was the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us to do. And we would start the Quran, we would start reading then. It's the first hour, Jum'ah, yani meaning after Fajr. He said, when the Imam would get on the minbar, we would have finished the reading of the Quran. 30 Jews. Not I read five, he reads five. No, each one of us would have finished reading the Quran. I asked the Sheikh, how in the world? But like, what? How do you do that? Like, how does one actually read 30 juz in that period of time? He said, once you get used to it, you read a juz in 12 minutes. Once you get used to it, you read a juz in 12 minutes. Started thinking about it. I said, wow, subhanAllah. I couldn't imagine that at that particular time. This was 18 years ago, maybe something like that. I could not imagine at that time any human being reading a juz in 12 minutes. SubhanAllah. I hope your aspirations are climbing right now, by the way. So we're talking about aspirations and the Quran itself and Ramadan and what should we be like after Ramadan. So I'm going to talk about this in a second, inshallah. But SubhanAllah, for me, this was an absolute eye-opener. Because I said, wait a minute, this is actually a human being in front of me that I can touch and talk to that is doing things that I only thought existed in the books of the Salaf. And I had to take a step back and I said, wait a minute. I became a Muslim in 1993. Fatiha to me was no different than Chinese, Japanese, whatever language. I heard somebody recite Fatiha, I was blown away, right? I was just like, wow. This African American guy from the hood is speaking Arabic. That's the way I interpreted it. Right? SubhanAllah. Okay, after a while, everybody learns Surah Al-Fatiha. You right now, you can say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And class. It hit me. I said, SubhanAllah, for them, the Quran is like Fatiha. The whole Quran. Because that's how much time they spend with the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now, mind you, it is not the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to read the Quran every day. Ramadan is an exception, and that is shown clearly from the actions of the Salaf, but that's not the norm. And the norm of the Sahaba, the norm of the Sahaba was, or let's just say a common practice amongst the Sahaba, was that they would read the Quran in its entirety every 7 days. It's called a tasbih, from seba, yani for seven. And they had a particular methodology for doing that. Three, five, seven, nine, 11. Anyway, that's a different discussion for a different day. The point is, once you know that something is possible, you'll be more likely to strive for it. If you don't know, then you won't strive for it. And so the story I was going to tell you, and then I said, maybe I'm not, now I will tell you. So I had a friend, this colleague of mine in Medina. And one of the things that we like to do was, especially for the Eid, we like to get our thobes made. And getting a thobe made is actually almost the same price as buying it out the box over there, right? So we used to get our thobes made. And this brother was a box thobe guy. He likes to buy his thobes from the box. So one day I said, nah, let's go to the tailor. We can measure it up and gets the thobe made. British brother. And so we go to pick up the thobe, a few days later. And he tries it on his story, tries his stillborn, mashallah, and it fits so nice. And he looked in the mirror and he's looking at the buttons and everything. And he says, "I didn't know looking this good was an option." And I said, "Nah, it's an option, bro. Alhamdulillah." And I'm only saying that from a dunya perspective to see that when we know that something is an option, we might actually strive for it. And if we don't believe that it's in reach, right, then we're not going to strive for it. And I think that that's one of the things that leads to dunu al-himma, which is the opposite of ulu al-himma. So this leads to low aspirations because you don't really believe it's possible, so you don't strive for it. For example, if I was to ask you right now, do you think that you can become from awliyaillah? Do you think you can become a wali of Allah Azawajal? I mean, a lot of us are like me. Knowing where I stand sinfully, the things that I do, the things that I don't do that I should do, whatever. Yeah, but if you put it in your mind, like, no, I want to die as a wali of Allah Azawajal. That's a different level. It's a different level of striving. Allah Azawajal does not want us to settle for mediocrity when it comes to the deen. As for dunya, that's not a big deal. Allah Azawajal says, many of us, and I'm just keeping it real, where we are today, we are so obsessed with the external, so obsessed with how we look, so obsessed to the point that, you've got bodybuilders that focus on this little muscle next to your tricep. This is how you want to do it like this. You want to do these kind of pull-ups. Pull your hands in this way, put them out that way, turn them around this so that, when you move your finger this way, your forearm, mashallah, the muscle is going to pop out or whatever. Like, we get so obsessed with this stuff. People sit in the mirror for an hour putting on, foundation on top of this, makeup over here, that way, put the blood. Okay. Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Prophet said, "Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wa la ila ajsamikum." Allah does not look at your external appearances, He doesn't look at your bodies. That is not going to be judged by Allah Azza wa Jalla. You were too skinny, you were a little chubby. No, you were all the way chubby. You were no. وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. But he looks at your hearts and he looks at your deeds. The same aspirations that we have for our external beauty, for our bodies, for are we putting that same energy into our hearts? Are we putting that same energy into our deen? Strive high, shoot for the stars. This was from the seerah of our Prophet embodying the teachings of the Quran. As we know, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, when asked about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Kana khuluquhu al-Quran." His character was the Quran. So I want us to look at this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many of you know this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Firdaus." If you ask Allah, ask Him for Al-Firdaus, right? Al-Firdaus, the highest level of Jannah. Right. This is high aspirations, by the way. Like, you don't get higher than Firdaus. All right. So I want us to take this hadith to heart and really try to understand it. What most people don't know is the context of this hadith. Sahih al-Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man amana billahi wal yawm al-akhir." Listen to this. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, wa aqama as-salah, and establishes the salah, wa sama ramadan, and fasts the month of Ramadan, kana haqqan ala Allah an yudkhilahu al-jannah. Allah has made it a duty upon Himself to enter this person into Jannah. Hold on. What did he do? Believes in Allah the last day, establishes the salat. Establish the salat. Aqama salat is different than yusalli. Establishes the salat means he prays on time, all the time. Side note, and then we get back to this issue, but I think this is super important. A lot of people, they come to you, they respect you for your religiosity, who you are, these type of things. And they come and they say, you know, I have this problem or that problem, or this problem. You know, one of my first questions to them is, how's your salat? How's your salat? Oh, yeah, no, I pray. No, that's not what I'm asking. Do you pray 5 times a day? See, subhanAllah, some people don't get it. There's a reason why Allah Azawajal made the salawat 5. I'm not saying that anybody actually knows the hikmah of the number 5, but let's just look at our houses. We have 4 walls around us and we have a roof. Okay, so that's 5 things that are protecting you. Imagine a roof wasn't there, but you had the 4 walls. You're saying, I have this house, but I'm still getting wet. Like, bro, do you have a roof? No. You got 4 walls. Okay, that's what's happening when you're doing 4 salat and not 5. That's what's happening. And you're coming and you're saying, no, but I got all these problems. Can you add that 5th one, please? And then we can like talk about maybe some of the other issues that you may be having, right? But the reality is that none of us would accept a beautiful car. You got this Rolls-Royce, $250,000 vehicle. It's got 3 wheels instead of 4. But it's a beautiful car. I'll tell you something, it's gonna have a hard time driving. Needs that 4th one. It was made that way for a reason. You got 4 for a reason. There are 5 salats for a reason. It works when there are 5. It's not going to work as well when there aren't 5. Aqama salat. On time, all the time. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day establishes the salat. Aqama salat. Wasama Ramadan and fast the month of Ramadan. Allah has made it a right on himself, over himself, to enter that person into Jannah. Jahad fi sabilillah aw jalasa fi ardihi allati wulida fiha. Whether he goes out for jihad or whether he stays in the land in which he was born. SubhanAllah. Now, some of the Sahaba who heard this hadith from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they say, Ya Rasulullah, afala nubashshiru an-nas? Oh, Messenger of Allah, should we not give glad tidings to the people? What glad tidings? Some people are like, man, alhamdulillah, I can still go to Jannah. I don't have to go out. I don't have to go out for jihad. Mind you, those people say the Muslims are, you know, the Islam was spread by the sword. The Muslims are bloodthirsty. And believe me, you had enough of the companions around the Prophet, like some, they weren't exactly enthusiastic about going out for jihad. Many of them were because they knew the reward. But it's not like the Prophet ﷺ said, La tatamannu liqa'a al-adu, don't wish to meet your enemy. It's not something that we strive for as Muslims. Man, we just want to go out and fight. La. That's a last resort when there's no other way to defend Islam and to raise the word of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ then said, La. Don't inform the people. Why? He said, "Da'i an-nasa ya'malun. Let the people work. Fa inna fil jannati mi'ata daraja. Because Jannah has 100 different levels. A'addaha Allahu lil mujahideen fi sabili. Allah has prepared them for those who strive in jihad for his cause. So when you ask Allah for Jannah, and this is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, so when you ask Allah, ask him for al-firdaws. فَإِنَّهُ أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ Because it is the highest point in Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ is telling us here, and he's the messenger of Allah. This is not from him, it's from Allah. Don't be settled with Jannah.
SubhanAllah.
What is that even? How does that even come off your tongue? How do we even get to the point where we say, don't settle for Jannah? What? SubhanAllah. The Prophet is saying, no, go for the highest part in Jannah. For those al-a'la. Yani, when you ask those al-a'la, subhanAllah, what high aspiration that is. SubhanAllah. You know, I think about the hadith of Rabi'a ibn Ka'b, radiallahu ta'ala, and he was the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was from outside of Medina, by the way. Not to get too far into his story, because I know my time is up. So I'll wrap up, inshallah. Akhi Abdurrahman. But the Rabi'a, he used to serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala, and who served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Asiru haythu masar." وأدور في فلكه إنما دار. يعني wherever he was, I was with him. I was in his orbit, is the way he said. أدور في فلكه. يعني wherever the Prophet said, I was in his orbit. I'm looking. Whenever he needs something, before he had to ask, I'm bringing it to him. This was Rabi' ibn Ka'b. And so one day he says, وَكُنْتُ أَبِيتُ مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَأَتَيْتُهُ بِوَضُوئِهِ وَحَاجَتِهِ. That night I was with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and I came to him. Like he would stay with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He would stay outside of his house at night. So whenever the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would wake up, he's going to get his water so that he can make wudu and so on and so forth. So he's bringing the water to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whatever else he needed. He said, that night the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says to me, Sal, ask me. He said, look, basically the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you know, he was the type of person that would always try to reciprocate a favor. Right? Wasn't just a person that takes, he wants to give. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And encouraged us to be that way as well. And mind you, even if you don't have something to give, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, make dua for this person until you feel like you've repaid them. And the reason why is because when you feel like you owe somebody something, then that's a piece of your heart that's not being dedicated to Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's just that simple. And so we want our hearts to be attached to Allah and Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. So you want to feel like you paid that person back to the best of your ability. Obviously, you're not going to be able to repay your parents ever, you know. Anyway, so the Prophet wants to reciprocate this favor. So he says, ask me. So he's telling Rabi'a ibn Ka'b, Sal. So Rabi'a, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, mind you, he was poor. He was from outside Medina. He was from Ahl al-Suffa. He's living with the poor from most of Muhajireen and the Ansar. And whenever the food would come, he would, whenever food came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would give them some from the food. But they were basically homeless. And he's a young man. I mean, you would think that if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asking him, you know, what do you want? And he's going to have a house, a wife, you know, whatever. He says, As'aluka murafakataka fil Jannah. I want to be with you in Jannah. Like here, I'm your Rafiq. I'm serving you. I'm in your company. I want to be in your company in Jannah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. What a high aspiration. His aspiration wasn't the dunya. His aspiration was the hereafter. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot more that can be said about this topic. However, I'm sure that at the half hour mark, many of you have already drifted off. So we'll reel it back in. And let's just say, as we conclude this month of Ramadan, Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us. And I believe that this is probably true for each and every one of us with some level of increase in ibadah. We're different than we were on the 29th of Sha'ban. We're different now on this 29th day of Ramadan. We may not have achieved everything that we wanted to have achieved. We may have fallen short. We may have made mistakes along the way. But subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us to increase. Our aspiration should remain high. Our competition for his maghfirah and his pardoning and his mercy should remain intact. We're not going to be the same people after Ramadan as we were in Ramadan, and that's okay. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was better in Ramadan than he was any other time of the year. That's fine. We're going to strive differently in Ramadan, and especially in these last 10, than we strive in any other time of the year, and that's fine. But our aspiration should be to keep a degree of what Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us to implement of ibadah, of understanding, of the recitation of the Quran and dhikr and dua and charity and those other aspects that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us to implement from those things that he loves, that we have the desire to keep a portion of that going all the way until next Ramadan, and that we keep on improving next Ramadan, and that we keep a higher percentage of those things, and that we die in a state of improvement. Wallahi, Allah Azza wa Jal does not require from us perfection, and he did not create us in a way that we could ever achieve perfection. But we can die in a state of improvement. And if we die while we are improving, then that is a husn al-khitam. That is a beautiful conclusion to life. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal for husn al-khitam. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from the evil of shaitan and from the evil of the shayateen and from the evil shayateen amongst jinn and the ins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from them. From the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I will leave you with is Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from inability and laziness. Those are the things that kill aspirations. Inability and laziness. Some parts of inability are qadr. You don't have any control over that. Some of it is your own positioning. And laziness is entirely your attitude. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us from laziness and inability. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for al-azima al-rushd, that He give us firm determination to be guided. That He give us firm determination to be guided. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to aid us in fasting what remains of the month of Ramadan and to aid us in standing what remains of its nights. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.
صلى الله عليه وسلم. جزاكم الله خيرا شيخنا. Really appreciate your insight into the topic and the insight that we all gained. The chat is blowing up, mashallah. Everyone is very much engaged, inshallah ta'ala. And we do have a few minutes, if possible, that we'd like to do some discussions. Let me make sure we're both spotlighted here. But what I'd like to start with is, I know that in your own journey, right? Someone asked about how you personally were able to make that change in your life, right? And I know from what I understand of your journey, early on when you went overseas, it was just to learn Arabic. It wasn't necessarily to go on this journey that you found yourself on in the position that you find yourself in now. I wonder if you could speak to that a bit in terms of how an early aspiration can develop as new possibilities open up for you.
Yeah, subhanAllah. So I think that there's a major role that ikhlas plays in all of this, because oftentimes when you start on a path to something, you don't actually know what's at the end of that tunnel. What you thought was a light might actually be a fire. Like, you really don't know. But subhanAllah, when you turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla in dua, I will tell you this on a personal note. One of the first books that I owned in Islam, so I had like 40 hadith Imam an-Nawawi. I had a mushaf. I had 40 hadith Imam an-Nawawi. Like, that was my go-to. There was a book back in the day. You will not be able to find it, wallahu a'lam. It was called Authentic Supplications. It was a white book that was printed by a spinoff of a Kuwaiti organization that I will not name, but they had a headquarters in Florida, Kissimmee, at the time. It was 94, maybe. This book called Authentic Supplications was before Hisn al-Muslim was translated into English, at least from what I remember. And for me, as a new Muslim, I'm opening up this book. First of all, the whole concept of authentic was just like, huh? That was took me a while to get used to this. You know, there's hadith and like there's a system for verifying that the Prophet ﷺ actually said something or different. Like, this was very different from any other religion that I was familiar with. But Authentic Supplications, it starts out, you open it up, there's a dua for when you put your clothes on. There's a dua for when you walk into the bathroom, when you come out the bathroom, from when you enter into a town and when you leave a town and when you're going to travel. And I was just like, subhanAllah, all of these things that we can say, that we can pray, like there's a formula that the Prophet ﷺ left behind for us. I will say that I believe that this was from Allah Azza wa Jal's lutf for me on a personal level, from His mercy, that helped me to develop my tongue to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a very early stage in Islam, prophetically. That I was using the du'as that the Prophet sallallahu was using from a very early stage. And when you get into that habit early on, it bears its fruits, alhamdulillah. I believe, inshallah, that that was from Allah Azza wa Jalla wanting good for me. And just the fact that I came from where I came from to become a Muslim is somewhat of a miracle itself, and truly a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So yeah, my journey early on was one of Arabic, but I do believe that I wanted to learn it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah knows best. I'm hoping that there was ikhlas in that. And I believe that those people who are sincere in what they do for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla and who strive, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. And when you strive for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah Azza wa Jalla will open up his paths. And Wallahu a'lam. That's the short answer.
Jazakumullah khair, and beautifully put. Now, in the chat, and we want to value your time. If you have a few more minutes, we really appreciate it. Alhamdulillah, this has been an amazing, amazing session for all of us. There's a question that came up, right? So we talk about these aspirations, but for some people, they feel, and I think I'll combine two questions. One person put it as, how unrealistic can we be in our dua? In the sense that, like, I know my actions aren't going to do it. And so I'm asking for these things, but I don't feel like my actions are connected to it. And how another person put it, they said that, like, I have these aspirations, but I can't relate personally. I can't put myself in these situations. So, and I think we're starting to open some doors for a lot of us because we're not used to dreaming big many ways. We've been limited, and we limit ourselves. Our cultures limit us. Shaitan limits us. And so often, a lot of what you've described is maybe a new perspective for some of us. So I was hoping you could maybe give us a little bit more in terms of the permission we have to have those huge aspirations, even though our current state may not warrant us being in that position.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And I think that's the whole point. Our current state may not warrant that, but so what? Al-amal bil-khawateem. It's all about how you end. It's all about the end. It's not about where you are right now in terms of how you're going to fare in the hereafter. Sure, where you are right now is part of your journey to meeting Allah Azza wa Jalla. But it's not the conclusion of that journey. And I think that the day before Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted Islam, and if somebody said that he was going to be in the highest station of Jannah, and who would have believed that? Right? Who would have believed that he would be from the Ashra al-Mubashireen bil Jannah, and he's up there, causing problems for the Muslims? Right? So I think that it's very simple. We just have to honestly. If that's where you are, take your role model as Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad. Look back at some of these ulama who, before Allah Azza wa Jalla put them on a path of istiqama, they may have been some of the people who were detrimental to society, public nuisance, causing problems. And I don't think that anybody is listening right now is one of those people. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you to get this far. And so, asking Allah for Al-Firdaws Al-A'la, again, this is not one of those things, wallahi. It doesn't matter what life looks like for you. It doesn't matter what you achieve in life, whether you're the greatest surgeon ever because your dad told you you needed to be or whatever. That has no bearing, but it also doesn't determine Al-Firdaws Al-A'la. There is absolutely nothing that you can ask for that is greater than seeing the face of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Firdaws Al-A'la. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from his dua was, Allahumma inni as'aluka barda al-'ayshi ba'da al-maut. Oh Allah, I ask you for a cool life after death, right? Cool bard, here, a life of serenity after death. Allahumma inni as'aluka barda al-'ayshi ba'da al-maut. وَلَذَّةَ النَّظَرِ إِلَى وَجْهِكَ. This was from the dua the Prophet taught some of his companions. And the enjoyment of looking at your face. Nobody deserves that. Nobody deserves Jannah. The Prophet said that none of us are going to enter Jannah. None of you. لَنْ يَدْخُلْ أَحَدٌ الْجَنَّةِ بِعَمَلِهِ. As compensation, yani. Jannah is not going to come as compensation for your deeds. You don't deserve Jannah. Then no more than you deserve to purchase this $6 million mansion for $2. Like that's not compensation. That's not fair compensation. There's nothing that you can do that's fair compensation for Jannah. This is what the Prophet was saying. They said, not even you, O Messenger of Allah. Mind you, there's nobody from Islam that does any deed except that the Prophet is getting sharing in that reward. How do you make wudu? You made wudu because you learned the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan, who learned it from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Khalas. Yani, whoever is teaching knowledge is also getting that reward. Every act that the Ummah does, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sharing in that reward. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, not even he is going to enter Jannah as compensation for his deeds, except that Allah Azza wa Jal encompasses me with his mercy. So the issue is not about whether you deserve. It's about, do you understand that Allah Azza wa Jalla is al-Kareem? Do you know who Allah is? Do you know that it's not about whether you deserve it or not? It's about, are you following what He instructed us to do? Whether that is from the Quran or whether it's on the tongue of His Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet ﷺ told us to ask for Firdaus. Prophet ﷺ knows we don't deserve it. So it's really not about where you are. It's about, will you have enough confidence in the messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Will you have enough in trust upon Allah azza wa jalla to ask for it and then strive for it? And even if you fall short, know that Allah is kareem. Wallahi al-azim. Think about it like this, man. You know, I don't know the age group that I'm talking to. I have older children. So I know that many of them, and your children are also, they're going to fall short of your expectations sometimes, not all the time. But when you see them striving, right, you may have had a different goal that you wanted them to reach. And maybe they weren't able to hit that target, but they tried so hard. You're going to reward them for their effort, wallah, even if they don't hit the target. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal for what you want. Strive for it and know that Allah is kinder to you, more merciful to you than you will ever be kind to your children and be merciful to your children. Allah is more than that. So believe that and strive for it. Be the day time. Allah musta'an. Akhi Abdurrahman, I'm going to ask that I'd be allowed to be excused. I actually, subhanAllah, almost missed this call. We have a brother in our community whose father had a heart attack last night. He had several more heart attacks on the way to the hospital. Mm. And he called literally right before I was able to jump on and was mentioning that the three doctors are telling them to remove him from life support.
Allah.
So it created a little, not just a fiqhi side of things, but the pastoral side of things. So I need to get back to
of course,
with the situation, inshallah ta'ala.
Certainly. No, that's a great place to end off. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time and being with the Sheikh and our dua with him as well. May Allah bring
you for having me.
Comfort to the family. Hayakum Allah.
Hayakum wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And alhamdulillah, that was Dr. Tahir Wyatt. As many of you mentioned earlier on, you'd seen him in Yaqeen, seen him in other places as well. And we're so excited, and we hope it's not the last opportunity that we have to spend time with him here in Ramadan 360 or perhaps in other avenues. May Allah bless him and bless all of you for your amazing participation as well. It was really heartwarming to see us start to expand our horizons a bit, right? You know, it's not comfortable sometimes to feel like I'm allowed to aspire to these amazing examples from the past. And we forget sometimes that the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is meant to be our example, right? He wasn't meant to show us what's not possible. His life is to show us what is possible. And so we strive to follow in his blessed footsteps, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla that all of us, we aim higher after this session and we aspire to great things. And that Allah Azza wa Jalla accepts us despite our shortcomings and our in those things that are weaknesses within us. Allahumma ameen. With that, we do want to go ahead and continue the session, inshallah ta'ala. Very special last moments of Ramadan 360 in that last couple of days here. But we're here now. I see some people in the chat, expressing some sadness. That's okay. But we're here. We're still here. So let's take in every moment. Let's enjoy every moment, inshallah ta'ala. And I would like to see if Ustadh Taymiyyah is available. And yes, I do see. Let's go ahead and add a spotlight here. Bismillah. Ustadha, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, I'm well. Jazakumullah khairan.
Hayakumullah.
Shall we begin?
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Was-salatu was-salamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. So when I think of ambition, I think of three things. The first thing I think of is a clear goal. And not just an ordinary goal, but a high goal that you want to achieve. The second thing that I think of is firm resolve. Because you can set goals and you can have, high aspirations, but if you don't have a strong resolve to achieve those goals, then that is just amani. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that laysa bi amanihikum, that Jannah is not attained just by your wishes, right? So the second thing I think of is firm resolve, azm. And the third thing I think of is work, hard work. So when you combine these three things together, then this is what success looks like. That you have a high goal, you have high aspirations, you don't become small, you don't set, small goals, you're not afraid, right? You have high aspirations, you have the firmness of intention, and then with that, you also combine hard work. Now let's break this down. Let's look at the first thing. The first thing, when you set high goals, as Muslims, what is it that we are all aiming for? What is it that we're all striving towards? What is our dream? It is, of course, Jannah, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 185, that faman zuhziha anin nari wa udkhilal jannata faqad faz. That the person who is saved from hellfire and they're admitted into paradise, then such a person has attained success. So the successful person is the one who is saved from Jahannam and they are admitted into paradise. Udkhila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say they enter into paradise. No, the fact that they are admitted into paradise by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. So this is the goal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Right? This is the greatest goal that Allah has given us, that don't just aim for dunya, aim for the akhirah. And in the akhirah, in Jannah also, waridwanun min Allahi akbar. The approval of Allah, that is the greatest achievement. And you see this in the Quran, that for example, Yusuf alayhi salam, he eventually came to a point in his life where he basically had everything. He had wealth, he had power, his family was together. And what was his goal over there? He was asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawaffani musliman wa alhiqni bis salihin. That allow me, he said, anta waliyyi fid dunya wal akhirah. Oh Allah, you are my wali, my protector, my close friend in this world and the hereafter. Allow me to die as a Muslim and join me with the righteous. And where are the righteous? In paradise. So the first thing is that aim high, right? And this requires that in this world you set goals that will lead you towards this highest goal. You have ambitions, that lead you towards Jannah. So any worldly goal also, like for example, you want to travel somewhere, you want to set up a business, you want to be able to earn a certain amount of money, you want to be able to set up an organization or whatever it may be, anything big or small that you're doing, you're studying, right? All of that should be leading you towards what your ultimate goal, which is Jannah, which is the approval of Allah. And we see in the Quran that, for example, the prophets of Allah, they had really high goals. Like Ibrahim alayhis salam, he in his du'as, what is it that he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for? That waj'alna That Rabbana waj'alna muslimayni lak wa min dhurriyyatina ummatan muslimatan lak. That, oh Allah, from our children, from our generations to come, make an entire ummah, an entire nation that is going to submit to you. So Ibrahim alayhis salam wasn't just thinking about himself, right? He's also thinking about who? About his future generations. So dream big. Your ultimate goal is paradise, and every sub goal that you have, it should eventually lead you towards the approval of Allah Azza wa Jal. The second thing, azm, strong intention and resolve. We see, for example, Musa alayhi salam in the Quran, how he was so determined to seek knowledge. So in Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 60, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ La abrahu. Musa alayhi salam said to his servant that I am not going to quit hatta abluga majma al-bahrain until I reach the place where the two seas meet, the junction of the two waters, because that is the place where he was supposed to meet Khidr. So he said, I'm not going to quit until I reach there. Oh, amdiya huquba, or I go on for years and years. Meaning, even if it takes me years and years, I am not quitting. So this was Musa alayhi salam's firm intention in making the journey to seek knowledge. Now, what happens is that sometimes we do make the intention and we start off, but then things get hard, they get tough, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 159. He tells his messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that fa'idha azamta fatawakkal ala Allah. When you make your resolve, then you put your trust in Allah. That means don't quit and keep going. And sometimes what happens is that you have that firm resolve, you want to keep going, but it's the people around you, right, near and far, who say things which can cause you to become weak in your intention. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that wala yastakhifannaka alladhina la yu'minun, that the people who do not believe should not make you quit. Not quit, but they should not find you light. And if someone is light, what that means is that you can easily sway them, right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in Surah Ali Imran, verse 186, that لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ, that you are definitely going to be tested in your properties and also in yourselves, in your bodies, in your personal lives. You're going to be tested. وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, and you are definitely going to hear from the people who were given the scripture before you. وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا, and you're also going to hear from the people who associate partners with Allah. What are you going to hear from them? Adhan kathira, a lot of hurtful things. You're going to hear a lot of hurtful things from these people. So what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preparing us for? He's basically telling us that do not get swayed by these people, by the kind of things they say to you. Because when you have this high goal and you're working towards it, you have the intention, then there are going to be obstacles on the way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have patience and to have taqwa of Allah. Now the third thing, hard work, and patience. It is not possible that you set a high goal, you have high aspirations, and then things are going to be easy. No, you have to put in the work. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate the journey for you, right? وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. Is there any, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Quran easy for remembrance. Is there any who will take lesson? Does this mean that memorizing the Quran is easy? No, it can take years and years. It can take an entire lifetime. SubhanAllah. Ease does not mean that things are going to be simple and that you're not going to have to put in any hard work. When you have high aspirations, you have to put in the work. And when you put in the work, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help also comes. He gives you steadfastness. But you have to have that firm resolve that, yes, I am here. I'm not quitting. I am not leaving. I am going to do this until the very end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, for example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 146. Not Baqarah, Ali Imran. Surah Ali Imran, verse 146. That وَكَأَيِّمْ مِن نَبِيٍّ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ. That there were so many prophets before who, alongside whom thousands of righteous men fought in the way of Allah. The prophets of Allah, and alongside them were who? Thousands of righteous men. And they're all fighting in the way of Allah. And what's happening? They're facing hardship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They did not become, they did not lose confidence because of what struck them in the way of Allah. وَمَا ضَعُفُوا, and they did not become weak. وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا, and they did not quit. They did not surrender to the enemy and quit. No, they kept going. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. Now, when they did face hardship, what did they do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that their only statement was, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. Our Lord, forgive us our sins, وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا, and also forgive us our excesses in our affair, وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا, and plant our feet firm. Give us steadfastness, because this comes only from Allah. The ability to stay firm, to not quit, to keep going, this comes from Allah. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ, and give us victory against the disbelieving people. This also comes only from Allah. We see also the example of Talut versus Jalut, right? In Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 247 onwards, that how when they saw Jalut and his armies, they said, لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمَ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ. They said that we don't have the power to face Jalut and his armies, that we are so small. How can we fight them? This is not going to be possible for us. But what happened? Among them, the people who were certain that they were going to meet Allah, what did they say? They said that how many times has it happened before that a small group overcomes a larger group by the permission of Allah? Meaning victory comes from Allah. You do what you can and success comes from Allah. And this is important to remember, because sometimes we are working very, very hard towards our goals and we don't see any tangible result, or we become impatient. And what happens to some people is that they literally burn themselves to the ground, right? That they overexhaust themselves. They work way too hard beyond what they are capable of doing. They overburden themselves. And what happens to some other people is that they quit. What we need to remember is that success comes from Allah, not just your work. You achieve your goals when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitates them for you. You cannot acquire them yourself. It's not possible. So success and victory, they come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do you do then? You do whatever that is within your capacity, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed on you, and leave the results to Allah. We see Also, that they made dua to Allah when they faced the enemy, when they faced Jalut. In Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 250, we learn they prayed, Rabbana afrigh alayna sabra, that, oh, our Lord, pour down patience on us. You know, there's this concept we should not be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for patience at all. You don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hardship and then patience on hardship. No. But when you are in hardship, then yes, you need patience. So you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for patience, and not just a little bit, you ask for a lot of it. Rabbana afrigh alayna sabra. Afrigh, ifrigh, is to literally turn a container over. Like, imagine a bucket that's full of water, you turn it over. So what is meant is that give us a lot of patience, because that is what we need. Wathabbit aqdamana, and make our feet firm. Wansurna ala alqawmil kafirin, and help us, give us victory against the disbelieving people. So set high goals. Your highest goal is Jannah. It is the approval of Allah. And every sub goal that you set, it should be leading you towards your greatest goal. Then have firm resolve, have the intention and resolve, and do not be swayed by what people say or by the hardships that you experience. And then finally, put in the hard work that is required, but know that results, success comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. It is with His mercy that we enter paradise, not by our own efforts, as we learned earlier. All right, let's hear from you. Any reflections, comments? Bismillah, let me see in the Bismillah. All right, Solange, go ahead. Bismillah.
I think we were having a battle over the microphone. You were saying how it's important to be like in the right environment, like have the right people around you to help. I was looking for the ayah, and I can't find it, where Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if the hypocrites are with you in battle, they will bring you down. And I was thinking how this is an advice that we can use every day. If you have people who don't want you to succeed around you, that's going to make you reaching your aspirations very difficult. So choose who you have around you in terms of goodness and in terms of avoiding the bad.
Jazakallah khairan. And actually, this
Yeah.
is very important, because sometimes what happens is that you have a certain goal that you're working towards, and yes, it requires effort. And alhamdulillah, you're able to do that. It just means that yes, you are not able to, have fun like other people are, right? You're sleeping less, maybe. You have more work to do, and there are people who will come to you and say, oh, you're working too hard, take it easy. This is not really required, Like, for example, Quran 360, even, is it fard, is it part of fasting to attend this program? No, it's not. It's not part of fasting. But it requires that you spend some time, watching, listening, taking notes every single day without a break. So maybe somebody comes and says, you don't have to do this, Take it easy. Go get some sleep, right? And these kind of people, even though they mean so well, sometimes they can really bring us down, because then we begin to have self-pity, and we lower our standards and our goals. And that is very, very dangerous for us.
That happens a lot in Ta'lim al-Quran when we're doing the 18-month full-time program. People have to battle their own families and their own friends to stay in the program.
Yeah. Jazakallah
But I
khairan,
recommend it.
shukran. Yeah, that's the thing. When you do something that is hard, yes, it's hard, but you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets you experience its sweetness. And then you experience so much joy in that you wouldn't have it any other way. Right? Like for example, you see someone working out and you're like, what's wrong with you? Like, why are you jumping and why are you doing this to yourself? Like, why? It doesn't make sense to you, maybe, right? You're like, just sit on the couch, just have fun, drink some, Coke, have some fries. But this is a person who's eating healthy, they're walking like 20K steps every day, and then, they're working out in the gym also. And you're like, why? Because how it makes them feel in their body, they actually love it, right? So this is the beauty of hard work, that you begin to enjoy it. So don't be scared of hard work. There's this verses of poetry in Arabic that which basically means that when the heat of the summer bothers you, and the cold of the winter also, bothers you, and the beauty of springtime distracts you, then when are you going to gain knowledge? Right? Meaning, if you're going to be constantly distracted by one thing or the other, then when are you going to accomplish your goals? There's always going to be something that's happening in your life that's going to make you uncomfortable, but you have to set a goal and you have to strive towards it. Next person. Aisha, go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Alaikum
My
salam.
reflection for today has to do with our ability, what you just mentioned, because it got me thinking a lot that if, alhamdulillah, I've been able to pursue this journey from day one up to day 29, and I've been able to be consistent, then it has only firmed my resolve that, inshallah, alhamdulillah, I can pursue more Islamic content. And I can follow through, and alhamdulillah, I'll be able to learn more and more and more. And inshallah, I'll be better and keep on improving. Alhamdulillah. And jazakumullah khair for all that you do.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
And when
And
you accomplish any goal, like even a small one, make sure that you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told in the Quran, إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر. That when victory comes, then what do? You glorify Allah, right? You praise Him, you seek His forgiveness. And also we learn about Surah Al-Kawthar, that Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fasalli li rabbika wanhar. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a blessing, then you worship Him and you thank Him through worship and praise. Why? So that He gives you more opportunities. Inshallah. Sakina, go ahead. Go ahead, Sakina.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullah. Can you hear me? Alhamdulillah. Today's session made me reflect on the thing of intention, that many times there's the case that some people, they have these beautiful intentions. They work very, very hard for it as well. But due to jealousy from people, their journey is very much up and down, up and down. There's a typical scenario. People say, I have the books open in front of me, I've got a couple of hours in front of me, and I can't do a thing. Subhanallah. And despite those ups and downs, that nothing happens except if Allah wills it, that they still make it eventually. And it just made me think that the sincerity of the intention is so important, that that's really, that opens the door to everything. And of
That,
course, the hard work.
yeah, this is very important, the sincerity of intention. And also, when you know that there are people who are envious of you, right, then you don't share every goal and aspiration with them. You don't tell them about what you're doing, because you don't want to spark their hasad and unnecessarily, create difficulty for you. Exactly. Keep it low key to the best of your ability. Inshallah. All right. Zoya, go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum, Ustad. Today's reflection would be
Nothing is impossible by the one who has created everything for us. And like Sister Sakina just mentioned, Hasad, Nazar, these obstacles come, and I've personally faced it myself as well. But through this platform, and as we are ending Al-Maghrib, the last 30 days, I promised myself I could, finish the Quran, which I could not. But the last 30 days, definitely through this Ramadan 360, I could be on track. And I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank you and the full team myself for bringing many of us on track. And inshallah, we can continue this till next Ramadan and for the rest of our life, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.
All right, last comment. Sister Bilkis, go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum
Waalaikumsalam.
wa rahmatullah. When I look at the seeking knowledge, for me, it's like planting a seed. If we plant a seed, we got to take care. If we want it to be to have fruits and everything, we got to take care. We got to water it. We got to work hard on it. That's one thing. And the second thing that I was reflecting on as well. I personally don't worry about what people say because that's their life and that's my life. I'm very determined and I get on with what I want to do. But I did find that sometimes these same people that talk say, don't do that. Why are you wasting your time? It's time you stop. They give you all kind, million of excuses and auzubillah. And after a couple of years, they regretted themselves. Why didn't I do that? Whether it's the way you bring a child up, I said, oh, what? Look at you and look at my daughter now. And after a couple of years, so from that, it's just be deaf sometimes. Alhamdulillah, Jazakallahu khairan.
All right, I just wanted to quickly mention the dua that Sheikh had mentioned. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-thabata fil amri wal 'azimata 'ala ar-rushd. Oh Allah, I ask you for steadfastness in all my affairs and determination in following the right path. Because sometimes we have these goals, but then we don't have that determination. We start something and then after a couple of weeks we stop, right? Or when things get tough, we become double-minded. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for thabat, for steadfastness and azima, determination. All right, inshallah, we'll conclude over here. Abdurrahman, back to you.
Jazakumullahu khairan. Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for taking the time to share your reflections as well. Ustad Taymiyyah, it's been a pleasure working with you over the past month, the opportunities that we've had. And I know you'll be around one more time tomorrow, inshallah, for that final reflection. But may Allah Azza bless you for your steadfast nature in being with us day in, day out. It's been a tremendous blessing. May Allah reward you.
You too. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi
Alaykum
wabarakatuh.
salam wa rahmatullahi wabarakatuh. A few final announcements for everyone, inshallah, as we begin to close out today. So first, on a personal note, I just want to say it's been an honor to be a part of this community, both as a student and participant, and sometimes as a host. It's really been a special time for me. It always is. And alhamdulillah, we know that the Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, is ending, but inshallah ta'ala, the community will continue. I know we'll see a lot of your faces in other Al-Maghrib endeavors, programs, things of that nature. And we really appreciate the growth that many of us have had over the past 30 days. But let's not make this the end. Let's make this the beginning, inshallah ta'ala. Let's make this the beginning of a bigger journey of knowledge and connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we conclude this month and move on to what's next for all of us. With that, we want to just let you know a few things. What can I do next? Ramadan's almost over. How can I spend my time? I want to stay in the session longer. Sheikh Ammar's YouTube series, the finale, about the name of Allah, Al-Muhsin, is out. So feel free to check that out on Al-Maghrib's YouTube channel. We'll get the link in there for you as well. So please do take a look at that. Also, we did see some movement on our campaign as well. If you've enjoyed this session, if you found benefit in it, we just want to be sure that you know you still have an opportunity to support us in these final moments of Ramadan. It is a sadaqa jariya. All the efforts that we're putting forth to ensure that this content is available and accessible around the globe in a high quality professional way, that is still ongoing. So thank you for your amazing generosity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a source of barakah for you. and for your families. Allahumma ameen. And we appreciate your continued support of Al Maghrib. And also, please continue to support our charity partners. We have HHRD here in the US, we have Islamic Relief in Canada, and Forgotten Women in the UK. Those charities doing amazing work as you're considering how to cap off your Ramadan with that last burst of generosity. Please consider all those efforts that we mentioned. Inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow we do have our final session with Sheikh Suleiman Hani. The subject will be al-istiqamah, or steadfastness, inshallah. So we look forward to seeing you there. Our final kahoot is there also, so you have an opportunity to do the kahoot. And it's always a fun and a great festive way to end as we close out Ramadan and begin to look toward Eid. With that, may Allah Azza wa Jalla bless you. A lot of you ask for dua in the chat. Just know that the Maghrib family here, we're constantly making dua, the staff, the support, the volunteers. We're making dua for all of our students, and we hope that that's a two-way street. We love you for the sake of Allah, and we pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla continues to bless you in all that you do. We'll see you soon, inshallah, azza wa jal. Barakallahu feekum, jazakum allahu khairan, wassalamu alaikum.